Welcome today to the Parenting is Heartwork podcast. I'm Dr. Scott Taransky, and I'm here with Elena Svetslot from the Netherlands. And we are very interested to talk to you today about your children. So my goal here today is to really zero in on a specific area of parenting that we all experience. This is something that's very common for everyone. And so, Elena, I'm grateful to be talking to you today. Welcome to the podcast and the partnership that we enjoy.
Hi, Dr. Scott. Yes, it's so great to be together again and to talk about another very important topic and to share some of our experiences and for you to share some wisdom with parents. And yes, I'm very excited actually to talk today about anger in a way that will be helpful for parents to try to understand that it is a heart issue and how to tackle it and how to help it in their children. But, you know, let's try to give some ideas to their parents also in them on how to help themselves when they are feeling perhaps a bit challenged with anger. So yeah, very excited to talk about it, Dr. Scott. So let's start by you, Dr. Scott, sharing some of your, over the years, what are some of the biggest discoveries, in a quotation mark, that you have done about anger that perhaps parents don't think about it when they think angry?
Yeah, you know, I think that a lot of children experience anger, and so do parents. So it's a very common problem. And the biggest thing for me was to recognize that this is a heart issue. The Bible talks about emotions and how these emotions exist inside the heart of a person. We even use commonly the phrase, "I love you with all my heart" idea, because we know that the heart is the place where these emotions reside. Now, we have to understand that emotions inside of the heart are very connected to other things like desires. If someone desires something or wants to play on the video game, for example, and you say no, then there can be frustration there immediately, because emotions are connected to desires, which are also in the heart. There are also things like values and convictions that we have. And so when a child believes things aren't fair, then they can experience this sense of injustice that causes them to feel angry. So in each case, we have this emotional reaction that must be addressed. And I think it's important to deal with this, not just on a behavior level, which requires, you know, some kind of punishment or reward or something like that, but something deeper. We have to really engineer some things on the inside to help a child in two different ways, I think. One is self-control that helps them put a lid on the emotion as it's starting to build. And the other is peace, which helps them to get angry less often. I think we have to pursue both of those different heart qualities in order to help children to maximize their own ability to address these emotions. And kids get overwhelmed with the emotions. They don't know what to do with them. And so we've got to equip them and help them. And I think it's going to take a lot of work to do that. We'll share some of those ideas now as we interact together.
Yeah, I think that's very important indeed. And, you know, anger is something that a lot of us are struggling with, parents and children alike. But also, I think one of the most common reactions that children express when they are unhappy, or the first most common reaction, you know, you are saying no, your child becomes angry, you don't give your child what he wants or she wants, that they become angry. So that's very common, more so than, for example, kids who become withdrawn. So it's important to I think it's important for both parent and child to learn to identify that they are becoming aggressive. Hopefully not aggressive, but angry. So in my experience working with families, but also with my own child and with myself, I learned that a very big step or a very big part of dealing with or helping understanding how to work with anger is to identify and not notice in your own self that, and in your child, that you are going towards that feelings, towards those feelings. And I know, Dr. Scott, that we will talk a bit about the strategy on how to help parents develop, you know, a bigger plan for dealing with, you know, with anger and other hard challenges and hard issues. But I think having something very practical to think about when it comes about anger, it's very, very valuable.
Yeah, you know, here's what I would suggest to parents. Most commonly, we have a problem of children not being able to let things go.
Mm.
When you describe disappointment, that's what you're saying. When you say no to a child, the child's experiencing this internal struggle of disappointment inside the heart. And that internal disappointment is something that children must learn to address. And whether there are three big categories of emotions, it's the disappointment, sadness category, the anger category, and the anxiety category. So I work with children in all three of those emotional challenge areas. And one of the things we need to do is let it go. So I say that because sometimes the work we do with anger isn't really about anger management. It's about learning how to let things go.
Mm.
And so we engage in the Biblical Parenting Coaching Program right off the bat. We start with a technique, a kind of an exercise, a therapy strategy that parents use at home by calling their children's name and having the children let go of whatever they're doing and come. Mm. That exercise done 20, 30, 40 times a day, when children must stop what they're doing and come to a parent, is an exercise for the heart. It's not just about being authoritarian in your parenting and, oh, children, whenever I call their name, need to come. It's exercising something very important inside of them where they learn to let go of what they're involved in. Because when we're heavily involved in reading their book or playing with their friend building something with Legos, and you call their name and their immediate response is, wait a minute, or don't bother me now, or I need 15 more minutes or something like that. When children do that, they're not letting it go. So sometimes with children who have real strong anger problems, we practice some therapy strategies before we get to an anger management plan. And one of them is this idea to learn to let things go. And we can practice that just by having children come when called. It's a great precursor to developing an anger management plan, I would suggest.
Yeah, no, absolutely true. And I think a lot of the times, what is very hard for parents is to, you know, to practice. But I can assure you that practicing is really, really valuable. And, you know, in the moment, if you try to correct a child and to make it work, when they are having an episode of anger, that's not the best moment necessarily to train your child. Like you say, Dr. Scott, it's very valuable to do it before and to explain to your child what you're doing and what are you intending and what their response should be and what's the optimal response. I think what's very important and what I want to draw from your from what you mentioned, Dr. Scott, is the part of choosing a better response or how would you, it's important that you also let the children experience and practice a better response. So, you know, instead of saying a bad word, they should say something nice, or instead of throwing with something, or instead of becoming, you know, I don't know, making a gesture which is unkind, to show some a kind gesture and to say a kind word. And not only to No, I think it's important for parents to not only say that to their children, but to let them practice it, to let them do it, to let them, you know, to let them experience what it's like to say something kind, to do something kind. To me, that is also a very important part and part of the training itself, part of getting children to change the way they're used to react in, you know, and replace it with something else.
Yeah,
right?
I hear what you're saying, and I think that's true. That true repentance, when a person's repenting, is not just stopping something, it's doing something different. So children who don't have a plan use anger to solve parent problems. Parents do too. If you don't have a plan, you tend to use anger to solve problems. And so we do need to give children alternatives that are solution oriented. So when they're frustrated with their brother, then a young man knows how to, that he has some choices. He can talk about it, or he can get help, or he can slow down and persevere or something that will help him deal with that. But when those are solutions that we want to empower children with, so that when we're all done with the anger episode, we can practice doing the right thing. When a child's angry, we don't usually want to offer solutions in that moment, because when a child's enraged, they're not thinking logically. So usually what we do first, if a child is upset and angry, is we stop the process. We don't continue to try to get things done. We don't continue to work on the schooling or the chore or the meal, for that matter. We just say, well, we have a problem here. You're off track. You need to take a break, settle down, change your heart, come back and see me when you're ready. The child's separated from the rest of things and needs to settle down. That activity of a break is a hard one to work on. And it becomes another precursor for an anger management plan. Before I can help a child with anger management, we've got to have a break in place. So we implement this break idea and practice it a lot, because we're going to come to a place when we work on the anger management, where the first step in the anger management plan is to stop and settle down. Before we can do anything else, if you're enraged, you have to stop and settle down. There is no other plan B. Okay, you can't be angry and continue on. You have to stop. And so understanding the break as a strategy in parenting is very important. And so before, usually when I'm working with a family where a child has an anger problem, we get to a place where we are developing the anger management plan. But if we start with, you know, coming when called, so we can help children release their what they value, we have a break in place so that the child's learning how to take a break and be able to move in a direction that's good. And we're also helping children to be able to, as you said, have a plan for dealing with strategies or challenges in life. And so if we can equip children with a plan, that will help them, so that in the moment when they're upset, we aren't going to the plan first. What we're doing is we're going to this idea of settling down. If we can settle down first, and that's our goal, then we can, when the child is settled down, which may take 2 minutes, it may take 5 minutes, it may take 30 minutes or longer, but the child has to be settled down before we dialogue about the anger and we move forward. So if parents embrace a break, now, many families have told me that the break has saved their family, because it slows it down, not only for the kids, but for the parents as well. We have to have a plan for slowing down emotion in family life, or it starts to take over what we're doing.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And I think, like you said, the break is not only for parents, for children, it's also for parents. So, Dr. Scott, what I would like to ask you is, how would you advise a parent who is dealing with an older child that deals with anger challenges, with maybe becoming even a bit more aggressive, or that's difficult to go on a break? We focus on the break, on and we speak with the kids, and you know, we explain to them where we want to go, what kind of character we want to build in them, but when they are a bit older and they have their own mind, their own ideas, it becomes a bit more challenging to necessarily put them on a break or let them. And I know that's very important, of course, but how would we deal with a situation where the parent is having a hard time putting their kid on a break because they're older and really struggling with getting them to connect, to build a bridge so they can start working on something useful?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that all people, whether they're children or adults, need to learn how to take a break. So the break is an adult skill. Young people need to learn how to take a break. The problem is that sometimes when you tell a child who's 13 years old or 15 years old, you need to stop and you need to take a break, I'm not going to keep talking about this right now, then sometimes they enter into badgering or kind of attacking or doing something. It's very important in that moment that parents do not engage with their children of any age when they're upset, because what that does is it even validates their poor approach. If a child's yelling at you and you continue to dialogue with them, then basically you're saying to the child, it's okay to yell at me. I'm going to continue to interact with you. And I think what we have to do is we say, I'm not talking to you. You are in a break. Whether a child goes to a break place, the break is a concept, not a place. So when you say to a child, hey, look, all life stops for you right now. I'm not taking you anywhere. You're not on video games. You don't even have a bedroom right now. You're done. You have to settle down, come back and see me when you're ready. And then you walk away. And sometimes a child will follow you, and as if they're going to, you know, keep badgering you to get involved. They're just baiting you to get involved in some kind of a dialogue. It's very important that you don't. I'm not talking to you right now until you settle down. And so you do not engage in whatever the issue was, watching the video or wearing that dirty shirt or eating a snack. We're not talking about that right now because the child's angry. You cannot interact with a person who's angry. And when parents remain calm and firm, it's very important to be firm here in this particular area, because what you're saying is the anger is inappropriate. We can't continue life with you demonstrating anger or trying to solve problems with anger. We're not going to do that. You have to settle down. That is the only next step available. And when you settle down, then we will talk about it. And I do think that when we do sit down to talk about it, we need to listen to children and we need to talk about it with solutions and not just complain about what they did wrong, but we need to have some interaction. So I think it's important for us to guide children forward, but not get sucked into the drama.
Yeah. Like you said, it's so important to have a plan. And I was referring a bit earlier about a bigger plan and a bit of a strategy that parents could have in place to help them work through this. And I think it's very important to have that, because it gives you that confidence that you are in point A and you are working towards point B, and you are doing that together with your child, and you can have conversations with your child to talk about where they are in the point they are at, what's happening then, and then to explain to them that you will start through a journey that will take them to a place where you want to develop, a different quality in their heart, that they are calmer, that they are more gentle. And so when you have that idea in your mind and you look at the entire experience as a journey and learning, I think parents can do different things. It's the break, but it's also teaching. It's also, praying and talking together with your child. So there's more than just one or two or three things that you can do. We have many, many tools in our bucket that we can use with children to help them overcome anger. And so I fully recommend to parents, if you haven't listened to our past episodes on the break or on the instruction routine or on all the other advice we're giving, please go ahead and do that. And remind yourself also that it's so important not only to focus on one tool, one skill, but to have a multifaceted approach when it comes to how to work with your child, and to think about it as a journey from point A to point B, and to communicate that also with your child.
Yeah, and I think as you see your child making progress, you're going to say to the child, you're going to affirm the child with the kind of affirmation that deals with internal motivation, which says, well, you're making progress on your ability to deal with frustration, or your ability to let things go, or your ability to deal with your brother, or whatever. I see that the things that used to drum up anger inside of you are not doing that as much. You're being able to manage yourself better. It's that kind of praise that helps children see that they're growing, and it feeds on itself and good things happen. So I would suggest that that as parents implement any kind of anger management plan, I mean, we have an elaborate anger management plan that we use at the National Center for Biblical Parenting, because everybody needs to have a plan for dealing with anger in their lives. Mm. As you do that, it's important to see progress, because see, children, sometimes parents will come into our program and their kids are angry, and I'll say, how many episodes do we have a day or a week or whatever? Mm. And some parents will say, well, we got about 5 episodes a day. And I'll say, okay, well, now we start working in 2-3 weeks into the program. Now we're down to 1 or 2 episodes a week. And the parent still feels frustrated. I'm saying, whoa, let's look at the progress we're making here. Okay, I know you wish that we wouldn't have any anger episodes. We moved from 5 episodes a day to 2 a week. I mean, that's major progress. I know we have more to do. We're going to continue working this out. But children, too, they don't often see their own progress. They get discouraged when they have times where they failed. And so we're trying to help them catch this, get it, and be able to grow in their ability and see that they're growing in their anger management plan. They need a plan. We're helping them do that. And good things can happen in their lives as they continue to work that plan over years. But we can see a lot of progress in just a few weeks as we're trying to set that up in a family's life.
Yeah, absolutely. Very important indeed. Okay, Dr. Scott, let me point out to our listeners that they can go ahead and go to biblicalparenting.org for more information, for articles, and for other materials that they can use for anger. You can find information on my website, elenazhvetsla.com. Please subscribe to our podcast and listen to the other episodes that we have for you. There is a lot of a wealth of information out there for you to focus on and listen. So please go ahead and give it a go and listen to what we have recorded previously. And yeah, I just want to encourage you, if you parents experience challenging situation and you need to speak to somebody, you need to get help, please get in touch with us. You can find us on our website. You can find our details on our website and get in touch with us, and we will be more than happy to help you. Dr. Scott, any final words for those children and parents who are working through their anger challenges at the moment?
Yeah, I think the greatest thing that's out there is our Biblical Parenting Coaching Program. You know that, Elena, you've been through it. I am training coaches 3 times a year, and we have hundreds of coaches working with parents to help them. And anger is one of our main issues that we deal with. Some children are very complicated with very sophisticated problems. Some of them have experienced trauma in their life and pain that contributes to anger. So it can be a complicated area. And I just think getting involved in the Biblical Parenting Coaching Program gives parents very specific solutions. And so parents can learn about that, of course, at our websites and get more involved in it. So yes, thank you. And folks, we're grateful that you've joined with us today. We want to help you. If you have some ideas about other topics you'd like to hear from us, just let us know. We'd like to share more with you about how to use a heart-based approach in your family. Thank you for joining us with us today.